It's MJ
and Tosh.
I was telling Tosh that I wanted to talk about kind of like life with debt out there. I'm not sure how all of you guys do it.
But it sucks.
It fucking does suck. The conversation I had opened up with Tosh before we had jumped on here was, you know, you're in a way made to feel badly if you're not like financially handling your life. And a vast majority of everything that I've always heard was, you know, you definitely got to stay out of credit card debt because that will just tank like your monthly expenditures and be, you know, really bad. And it seems like the people that like, we're not talking about rich people, but it seemed like the people that were like financially comfortable and, you know, still doing this, that, and the other, either never had credit card debt and they were just, you know, they were living within their means based off of their paycheck. I wanted to point out that I don't think that that's necessarily always true, because when I had that fed to me by someone that seemed like they had everything together, it came about, and there's no shame in it, but I just don't ever like when people try to make something that it isn't. I'd rather you just be honest, because I don't really care one way or the other, yeah. But I do care when it feels like you lied, yeah, about it. But they were very adamant about, you know, well, the reason that you feel like you're, you know, so financially strapped is because you're getting, you know, too much debt with credit cards, and then you're making your monthly payments and all that money you could just be keeping for yourself to have to spend it with. Turned out that they do have credit card debt and their parents help out, which I don't have that luxury. But even if I did, I have a very hard time feeling bailed out by people. I want to make sure I'm paying my own way. I don't want anyone else to feel like I did, which is feeling like you are less than because you're not handling your finances the way that is deemed acceptable. I want us all to be able to afford things. And I know it comes up like when stuff starts feeling very tight and you just want more wiggle room and you want more freedom. A lot of people think of like things like refinancing. They think of things like bankruptcy. They think of things of like debt consolidation, and it all sounds good. And it sounds like a good fix to a problem. But ultimately in my life, I wanted to put it out there and just put it in the informational hands that it's band-aid to a very bigger problem. And it's nothing against us as adults necessarily to say, but I don't think that it's honestly given the facts up front. And when I was talking to Tosh about that, what I mean by that is like, just if I take, for instance, bankruptcy, I've never done it, but of the people that I've been around that have done bankruptcy, I was under the impression that it is a way out. And yes, it does mess up your credit for 7 years. But for instance, it's beneficial if you don't have a ton of stuff in your name because they only let you keep one thing. And Tosh was like, that's not what I heard. I heard that it's different. So the best way for me to explain it is like, for instance, if you have a car payment and a house payment, you only get to keep one that they don't use as collateral, you know, for yourself in this whole consolidation of going bankrupt. And Tosh is like, that's not what I heard. What I heard is that they'll use anything and everything that they can against you. I just don't think that there's enough transparency, and there's certainly not options out there like the world likes to think that there's options out there. And I wanted to open up the forum to talk a little bit more about that, because where we're thinking that we're finding a solution to a problem and helping ourselves ends up turning into unforeseen information that wasn't provided up front. It allows us to make poor decisions. And I was asking Tosh about that, of just feeling like the odds are stacked against you. It's bad enough that you're taxed on the money that you make, you're taxed on the things that you buy, and then you're taxed again at the end of the year. But like when you think that you're trying to find a solution to a debt problem, and there's avenues that are given that are supposed to quote unquote help you when you're in debt, and it turns out not being that way at all, but you're already headed into it, you can't just turn around and get back out of it, like bankruptcy and stuff to that extent. It's very frustrating. I have to cough too. Is it something in the air? I was trying to swallow spit, so I didn't, but like my throat was getting a little bit dry.
That one came out of nowhere. I tried really hard.
It was sympathy cough because I was forcing it onto you. Anyways, just opening the forum up because I don't feel a lot of us even know. And I don't understand why there's just not honesty out there. I want to say up front, I have fucking credit card debt and I don't like it. And I don't like how much it fucking costs me monthly. I really don't. I know that it's been a point of contention and it's been an open conversation that people feel like there are certain life skills that should be taught in school that just aren't. Things that are like, you know, finances and writing checks or paying bills. And I can't say I don't disagree because I feel like I learned that stuff based off of the family around you and kind of what you picked up as you went along. But when we're coming into like the debt sort of situation, I just wish it was just more open. And I wanted to, you know, us to shed light on things that we've heard to put out there that maybe, you know, some of you that are considering or even have done yourself that you didn't know that wish people would have let you know. I want to open that line of communication so that maybe we can help each other in making more sound decisions. Now, for instance, bankruptcy, if we take that topic alone, I do think that it's important to check boxes, but I was even under a different impression than what Tasha's even heard about bankruptcy as of more recent. And I think that she'd said that from what she understood, that the rules of the way things were handled have changed. Obviously, everything's always changing as years go on. But like, again, what I heard was it'll affect your credit. It'll be really down for 7 years and building back up from a bankruptcy can be difficult. So if you're looking at needing to make any major expenditures like purchasing a house or things like that, you're not going to want to do that going through bankruptcy thinking that you're going to wipe that and then be able to make that big, big purchase. Also, furthermore, if you're in the middle of something, when I was under the impression, if you have a car payment and you have a house payment and you have like a trailer payment and you have like an ATV payment, like that you could only keep one. Tasha's heard that it's not that at all with the way that they've changed things. They will literally use anything and everything that you have collateral for in order to pay for.
So what I was told was that if you had a car,
That bankruptcy,
of course, they'll take your car. They give you an option to pay them for the car. So they'll take it, and then they have this thing where you could pay them. So they would make you pay, like, for half the car or something to get the car back. And there's just a lot of, I heard that you had to have, if you have more than like 75, makes more than $75,000 a year, it's not going to work well for you.
See, and I didn't know that either.
As well.
I don't even think that the people that are in these situations are adequately explaining it to people in order for them to make those sound decisions. That's why I wanted to open up that forum and talk about it. Because when I thought they said you could keep something, just one out of all of them, that meant that they left it alone. And when she was like, no, they'll take everything, they won't leave just one thing alone from what I've heard. I was like, but what if you're not even making payments on it? And she's like, from what I heard, nope, they take it. Even if you fully own it outright as collateral. I didn't know that. And I just wanted to like say, I think it's important for all of us to divulge as much information that we have found, either because we went through it or if we didn't go through it, but we've heard. Putting it out there on the table is important because I feel like half of us get into a situation where we didn't know things were going to go a certain way because even the people that we tried to do our work in our due diligence about it, they were like half truths and, you know, kind of just misspun information. That it's important that like if no one else is going to discuss it openly and just kind of be an open book, not because they went through it, but just what they know.
So what I've also learned with like debt consolidation is it's just like any contract. You buy a house, you buy a car, you sign a contract and there's all this stupid fine print, right?
Yeah, because none of us want to read that fucking 800-page book.
And none of us, if you're signing a contract for something, typically means that you don't have the money just to buy it outright. So you're signing a contract for it, which means that you probably don't have a lawyer that's reading the contract and doing all this stuff for you. So you're signing it just in the hopes that having these conversations with them, you know what you're getting into.
Black and white. Yeah.
And what actually ends up happening is like debt consolidation, they don't pay, you pay them for so many months you know, for a while. And that just pays their fees, similar to an interest like on a student loan, which I think, again, is bogus. But I have a student loan. That's a whole other thing. Don't do it, guys. Just don't do it.
But I mean, like, okay, let's be honest. Like, the main reason that we're even getting into loans and stuff like that is just like, we don't have all the money up front, but we want to fund something. And we're like, you know, black and white. This is how much it is. Yeah. These are the monthly payments that you're going to be making. In my mind, I would think the same thing. Like, okay, the debt consolidation loan. Let's just, I'm going to use a round number. I'm not saying that this applies to anybody, but let's just say I got a debt consolidation loan for $10,000 or what. I don't even think that that's how it works. I don't know if it's an actual loan, but like, I'm giving them that I have $10,000 in debt. And then they're a debt consolidation to me, from what I understood it to be, from the information that I've ever even heard or looked at, was you go to them, they negotiate on your behalf. And the reason why I'm using these terms is because that's kind of how it worked when it came to my accident and a lawyer was present. The medical bills for something that was not our fault had to go to a lawyer. That lawyer then worked on your behalf to work with them on a number that wasn't that number. It was reduced. Mm-hmm. And then payments are broken up into a payment status that can then be made or whatever, however it's all settles out. I would think that way for a debt consolidation. And then to be told that, like, you know, that's not that even the case.
That will eventually happen.
I know. Like, hello? Where was that information before I made the call to move forward? Yeah. That's what I want to talk about. I don't think enough. I don't think a vast majority of us really get the, what is it? What is that phrase? The sides and the meat and the potatoes and the dressing. Like, that should be stuff that, like, they should be letting you know before you make an informed decision. And it's just like, it feels too often like when you've decided to move forward because you've heard, like, that's what's in your best bet. You're trying to better yourself. That's in your best interest. You think that you can make that work. Just to find out, like, that's not it at all, that frustrates me. That frustrates me.
Sounds like a lot of things in life, you know, but...
Oh, frustrate me? I'm a very passionate person.
No! Oh.
Not that. Everything just frustrates
that
me.
That you're told something and something else is what is the actual, is the reality.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, yes, it would be best, and I'm, you know, doing it with my daughter and stuff as well, as, you know, when you're younger, actually teach people about this stuff. Like, teach them about credit cards. Like, I don't think that credit cards are bad. I think the smart way to do it is to buy something, like, the way my, I think my dad still does it. He has a credit card just for gas, like, to build his credit. So he'll buy all of the, purchase all gas, like, on the gas card, and then once a month for that payment, he pays it off.
I did hear that from a, not my boss, but a boss of a boss.
Yes. And so that works because you're building your credit based off of mm-hmm. that, but you're also not getting any interest.
Right, because you're paying it off.
So it helps. You know, what you get into is, unfortunately, it doesn't matter how good your credit is, interest rates are just skyrocketing because of inflation and everything else going on. And so even, you know, it sucks, but some interest rates are like 24%, 28%. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And so that's how they get you, right? I mean, that's their job. The credit cards want you to have, the credit card debt. Companies want you to have debt. That's how they make money. Business. Correct. So unfortunately, you know, people have that. And then they think, oh, it's good. I'm just going to buy one thing. And unfortunately,
It's never one thing.
And even if it is that one thing, people forget, like, oh, that interest rate. So that $100 is actually $130 because of that. And right. If I don't pay that $130 off, then it's interest on that
right
leftover amount, and then it's interest on that leftover amount, and it keeps just rising. And
well, I think there's also, like, the phrase itself, especially when it does come with, like, credit cards. Mm-hmm. The whole point in a credit card or a loan, like I said, is that you don't have the full amount up front. So in your mind, you're like, okay, well, I can make this work if I make this monthly payment towards this for this amount of time, I'll pay it off. But yes, it feels like it's a little bit of a scheme because maybe, for instance, you had, I don't know if you guys, if anyone else is aware of it, and I'm sure, you know, some of you are, but like introductory rate. But the introductory rate, regardless if you paid it off or not, is only for 6 months or 4 months.
Yeah.
And then
0% APR.
Right.
For 12 months.
Right. And you're like, okay, well, I don't have let's just throw a number out there. Let's just say $5,000 to get like the new appliances I need within my home. But I can get like this store card, you know, with an introductory rate, and I can make payments on it, and that works within my lifestyle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like the truth of the matter is, it's just like, it's shit constantly fucking changes. And even though, and like, it feels like you're saying contract, but literally it never feels like a contract that they have to stick to. Like if they decided something changed midway through your contract, it doesn't matter as long as they notified you within like 30 days.
And you want to know what's really messed up? And I don't think that a lot of people know this. Is that if you, like, say you go to a furniture store, you buy, and you get 12 months zero interest, uh-huh. right? And you buy it for $1,000. And then the interest rate ends up is like 30%, right? Whatever. I'm just saying it could be 8%. I don't know. But what they don't tell you is, even though you may only owe like $200 and you pass that 1 year, you have to pay interest on that full $1,000.
Oh my God. So, no, I didn't.
Yeah. So you don't like.
It's not just your balance. It's. The no, entire purchase
because you basically didn't pay it off. Avoided that contract by not paying it off in that a certain amount of time.
Oh my God.
And so people don't understand that. They think, oh, great, 0% interest. This is great. I'm going to get most of it paid off. No, because they're still going to get interest on that full amount because you breached the contract.
I wonder if that works for like all things though, like even like a computer and stuff like that. Like, you know, I mean, how like some of
the,
us.
It did at the, I only know this because I purchased a couch and I did a credit card and it's fine. Like, I'm. It's paid off. Everything's fine. But that was, they were actually nice enough to tell me that because I was like, oh, great. It's 12% zero interest. They're like, yeah, but understand that if you pass the 12 months, the interest is on the full amount.
I feel like everyone should be doing that when you're doing like a loan or like a card or something.
They
spell
should.
It out.
They should. But legally, it's in the
they just have to write. That's the same thing as like using warnings on a shampoo bottle.
Yeah.
If you know a vast majority of society, granted outside of like engineers, because they fucking read everything. but like, no, I mean like working in the insurance world, I had a couple of engineers as customers when I was in an agent's office. They read everything.
No, because
they will ask for me for the full contract. They will go through that contract. Then they will point out things that I'm just like,
I know.
I don't even know. That has never been a thing in the 18 years that I've been here. I know it says it's there, but it's never been a thing.
No one ever brought it up. You're the first person.
I know, but like, we all need an engineer in our life just reading through our shit. But like, I just feel like, especially like, okay, just using contracts alone, having nothing to do with money. That's how I would be in an agent's office for an insurance policy. I would go over the nitty gritty and be like, hey, I want you to know this, this, and this. So you don't have to just read it. I will point it out. This page basically says this, but if there's something important on here that most people just mull over, I will let you fucking know. Shouldn't that be a part of the job?
It should, but most people are impatient and don't want to sit anyway. So it just, I mean, because I did that when I worked in property management. I was an assistant like property manager, and I did that. I would go over people's contracts, and I'd have them initial each page, and we would go over everything. But you still run into the people that don't pay attention. They don't take notes. They don't care.
Right.
They're in la-la land thinking about what they're putting in the living room.
You've had so many fucking different jobs. I know. You're literally like an all-person's hat. Like, I just, when you like pop things out of like, I worked here one time, I was like, when did you do that?
It wasn't one time. I worked in that industry for 6 years. But anyways, I did that, right? And I would go through the contracts with them and have them initial and go through it. But again, you run into the people. I mean, I am in fault of this as well.
I think we've all done it a time or two.
I'm excited they probably did talk about it. But all in my mind, I'm just thinking, woo, I'm getting this or whatever.
I finally found a solution or, yeah.
It's like you're not paying attention to that because you're looking at the future, right? And anyways, again, we all run into that stuff. But yeah, I think it's really interesting about the interest. That's always scary when it is 0%. You think like, oh, I'm great. And if I do get interest, it's only going to be on this amount. It's not. Now, there may be some companies that they do go off of that, but I know majority of them go off of the full amount because that is the contract that you're signing. That was the special that's going on. That's how they get you because they want you to pay it all off.
I also think that there's something that like, you know, that like some people don't like point out there, you know, say for instance, like signing up for specific credit cards that have annual fees.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't necessarily point out that it's an annual fee. They say, we are waiving this fee. But that's just for the year that you signed up.
And not next year.
Right.
It's not the year.
So like, I'm gonna personally put it out there. Like, I do like my American Express card. And I got it when I was super young. I was in my 20s. And when I first got it, you know, it was in order to build credit. That was the recommendation that was given. That and getting into a car payment was when you're young and you're starting out, like they recommend to build credit that way. And they were like, oh, you know, you will get this annual fee or whatever like that. I thought, you know, that meant like, oh, I'm never going to get it.
Yeah.
I know I heard annual in there and the card was only for $2,500, but I was like, well, you're supposed to build credit. But, and I also didn't know that you actually had to charge, pay off, and then charge and pay off. Mm-hmm. I just thought like, if you had a card in your name that said that you were good to have this kind of money, helped.
We all thought the same thing.
It just helped you have, just helped you build credit. Yeah. I don't know why, but like I did. Their fucking fee is now like $80 a year. So if I never use that card,
that's just based off the type of card. Cause if you get the
right. Well, there's that too. But like, if I never use that card the entire year and it just sits there with like,
hey, them money.
I paid them money to have a card. Isn't that some bullshit? Like, unbelievable bullshit. Like, it used to start off, I think it was like $75 and now it's like at like $80 or $90. But I'm like, you're better off using the card for something and paying it off to get their points and then having a balance in there to just pay your fucking annual fee. Mm-hmm. Like, that's some bullshit. But I think, like, the most important thing that I want to say in regards to this conversation that have us take with us is talk to people around you. Maybe somebody else knows something that you didn't know before you make a decision, and don't always trust who you're going through to have that decision done. Talk to people that have nothing to do with it, whether that is like a student loan. Talk to other people that have had student loans and what they've encountered. That's not to say that you're necessarily going to go through the same thing, but it gives you information, and information is power. That's been a long-term phrase.
Knowledge is power.
Right, for life. And, you know, I've considered a time or two in my own mind when things felt tough financially, like maybe it would be easier to just do a bankruptcy. But knowing and learning what I learned from other people around me at that time had me pause and say, maybe that's not an avenue that I want to go down. And I'm glad that I didn't. I think that it's important. Talk to those around you. Talk to people that you trust. Still get your information, you know, from like a source that works within that. You know, there's nothing wrong. Don't ever sign until you want to feel educated enough to make a decision. That's my number one. But reaching out to people in those fields and stuff like that is also important. But talk to people that have nothing to do with it as well. Maybe they have an experience. Maybe like Tosh did, like where she heard something more about bankruptcy out of like the person that I knew that went through it was something different. I didn't even realize that like if you made an X amount of something for your employmentship in a year that it wouldn't even be beneficial. I didn't know that either. Mm-hmm. I thought it benefited everybody. And that's how like a lot of fucking people ended up staying rich, was they were just like, yeah, I'll just file for bankruptcy and never have to pay anything.
Because I think there's like different degrees to it. So 75,000 and over, it's a different degree of bankruptcy. Like you have to have so much, I think, in debt. I don't know. It probably has like, there's just, you know, logistics to it.
Of course. Debt.
So, I mean, if you're a multimillionaire and you file bankruptcy, that's fine. You can do it. It's not saying that you can't ever file bankruptcy. It's just then you have more at stake. So now making that kind of money, they're going to take this, this, and this. Because
to be honest, it feels like they're less at stake and they always get shit wiped off their record and then they still keep all their shit. No, how does that happen?
It's because they have so much shit.
Okay, they have so much shit, it doesn't matter.
It's very different when you have assets and stuff literally everywhere.
I mean, and you're hiding.
Yeah. And they can't touch stuff probably that's out of the country. You know what I mean? Like
they're offshore probably, accounts.
No, but she's winking. But honestly, like there are ways around it. These are smart individuals. When they are making that kind of money, they have power somewhere. It's not.
But not only that, they also have somebody that knows the.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They're the probably, back doors of things.
Exactly. So they have those.
Where there's a little wiggle room.
Well, similar to what I was saying when we first started talking about this, it's the whole, if you are rich enough, you usually have your lawyer read your contracts before you even sign anything. Like you have people doing that for you. When you're like us and you're, you know, just average, and we're not multi-million billionaires, just average. We don't have the luxury of having attorneys and engineers, like you were saying, like actually dissect everything that we do for us and make those decisions for us. We don't have that. So I would say my take from it all is, yes, just like MJ was saying, get advice from other people before you decide to do something. With credit cards, I honestly, for my own personal stuff that I've been through, don't do it unless, yes, it's an emergency. I totally understand emergencies. I get that they happen. That's also the point of them, of the credit card. Just, you know, maybe there is something that's happening and you need to spend that money. We get it. We all get it. We've all been right. But as far as what happened for me is, you know, in college, credit card. And I thought the same thing as MJ. And I'd spend all this money buying new clothes and everything, thinking, no big deal. I'll just pay it later.
Right. And pay it monthly. Yeah, you know, it's something that it's only a couple hundred bucks. Yeah.
And then it's like that couple hundred and it'd be like 800 a month. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And, cause no matter what, right. Unless you do file bankruptcy or something, you do owe that money back.
Right.
So that it doesn't ever just like get wiped away.
Shouldn't it though? I feel like it should. I want it to get wiped away at some point in time.
Who's paying all my debt? Sugar daddy.
That's what this is about. Or if you guys want to sign up, please. Yeah. We're taking recommendations and we're, filing for,
MJ and Tosh. Just let us know.
Yeah. We'd like something. Alrighty, until next week, guys. This is MJ
and Tosh.